Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire.
That's right. It's 5 o'clock fire. It's Friday. Hopefully you're off work with a beer or Coors or something in your hand, having a good time. And luckily for you, Old Dirty and Show have the latest for you. And the latest is, as the Astros get ready for game two in a huge series against the White Sox, they win the first one in blowout fashion, 10-2. Tonight, they get going, but they still have some guys that are on the IL. And Dusty Baker gives updates first on Alex Bregman, and then on Kyle Tucker. This is him first on Alex Bregman.
We don't know how long. A lot of it depends on, you know, how fast he heals, and most of it depends on that. And so, no, there's no time frame, but I do know it'll be a while. Tucker may be supposed to come in today. The doctors have to clear him, and, you know, we'll see. I haven't seen him yet, so I'm hoping to see him in a little while. If not, then we'll have to wait until tomorrow.
So I assume if he's in, that means he'll be working out in some regard?
Yeah, we hope so. Yeah, we hope so. But a lot of that depends on, you know, when they lay eyes on him and what he looks like. And I can look in the trash can here and get the daily injury report, but I already tore it up. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. Thanks, Dusty.
Oh, Dusty.
Already this. That's when he's turning 72 and he doesn't give a rip.
You reading my face?
I don't, Dusty. I know you like to be punched in the face first, so let's start with Alex Bregman. He's saying it'll be a while, and that is the quad injury of late, but he has also had the hamstring situation. Boy, you wonder what a while means. Is that 2 weeks? Is that? It seems like it's going to be more than the 10 days of the IL.
With this lineup, it doesn't matter. With this lineup, doesn't it doesn't matter.
Are we getting a little too cocky with this lineup?
No,
right now?
No. Look, I mean, here's the deal.
It doesn't matter.
You're not gonna do anybody any good rushing a hamstring and rushing a quad.
I agree with that.
It's not gonna do the team any good. You're gonna end up, if you do get into the playoffs, you're gonna end up having to win a playoff series without him, or he's gonna limp into the playoffs. Nobody wins when that's the case. I'm 100% okay with them like taking their time and however long you think it's going to take for him to get back at a week. I'm good with it, man. The hamstrings and quads are nothing to play with, and not that you can't play through some tweaks and some aches and pains, but man, them things just when you push them, they just don't go away, and they bite you when it hurts the worst. And so I'm with Bregman. Hey, man, take as much time as you need to get them legs right. And when you come back, make sure you're stretched out, make sure you're healthy as ever, and make sure you're ready to go. I think there's a couple of luxuries that the Astros have, and that's in this lineup and in this starting rotation. When you've got key guys, when there's key guys that have aches and pains, you have the luxury of proceeding with caution. And I think they should do that with Bregman in this scenario and any of the other top hitters or top pitchers in the rotation.
No, I agree with you. He shouldn't be pushing it. And to take it, you know, make sure you're at a good spot, because I do believe kind of pushing it with the hamstring, you could wonder if that led to the quad, him trying to protect his hamstring in favor of that, led to the quad, and you don't want that to come back, because you could see he wasn't the same Alex Bregman you're used to. He didn't fully have it all like he used to. He still made big plays and swung the bat at a pretty good rate, but it wasn't completely the Alex Bregman. And when they get into the big time and the big games, you would love to have Alex Bregman at a good space. But it does at least sound good that Kyle Tucker sounds like he potentially could be getting close and practicing. If you can get that next bat in, that obviously even helps even more with how much rest you can give Alex Bregman.
Yeah, look, it looks like – didn't the Astros pick up a game last night or half a game last night because the A's didn't even play, right? Yeah. So look there. The A's have been hotter – the only team in baseball hotter than the Astros.
Those are the A's. The only thing that stops the A's are days off.
Right. So take advantage of the day off. They did that without Bregman in the lineup. So, look, I think there's we're at a point in the season where there's still a boatload of games left, still a lot of baseball to be played. This team is very, very talented at the plate. They can handle a little bit of one of their players or even two of their bats being out of the lineup. And at this point in the season, you don't want it to be the case late in the season, but right now I think they can handle it.
I think we don't see Bregman until after the All-Star break. I think he is out until after the All-Star break. Gets this break, that break, and then the second half starts. I think that's when Bregman comes back to completely heal that hamstring and quad.
5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, I need to get completely healed if something jumped up in my throat.
Yeah, what happened right there?
God almighty, I almost choked myself. Now, former Houston Texans defensive tackle, defensive end, P.J. Hall was arrested earlier this week on charges of assault and interference with public duties. According to court documents, he used bodily injury by pushing the complainant. Hall is out on bond. P.J. Hall, who I said and I felt last year, he was the second best defensive lineman for the Texans, and it was a surprise that they decided to not bring him back. And now nobody's picked him up, which is really interesting because he played well enough last year where it seemed like he would find his way on the team, but it looks like he is in some trouble for issues earlier this week.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is unfortunate for all parties involved. I mean, you hate to see a young fellow. I mean, golly, I mean, you're talking about a second-round draft pick that's clearly a talented dude, and you hate to see him, waste the talent and waste a year or waste an opportunity by getting in trouble in the streets. So I don't know all the details at this point in time, but P.J. Hall's a guy that good player.
Are you surprised he's not on a team? Are you?
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not on a team. I'm surprised he's not with somebody. But he's when it's all said and done, he's not a good enough player to do that, to pull this kind of thing off and continue to get opportunities, right?
I mean, there has to be conversations when other teams, because he played way too well last year to not be somebody's rotational piece around the league, way too well in stopping the run and getting pressure at times. So there just has to be conversations between coaches and GMs when they're thinking, hey, what do you remember about P.J. Hall from the Raiders and from here, where it's like, hey, I don't know if he's worth it. There has to be those conversations because, I mean, the Texans have signed guys that haven't been as productive as he has, and I mean, they need help on the defensive line.
Yeah, look, it's when you get a guy that he's had weight issues in Oakland.
That's true.
When he was there, Vegas, I guess it is now. Obviously, wasn't a fit here in Houston, and it wasn't because he did, like you mentioned, it wasn't because he didn't play above expectations. I think he did that. He contributed. I think it's, a lot of the times when you got guys with weight issues, there's issues of being accountable, being on time, and understanding how important it is to be a professional. They struggle being a professional. And all the things that come with being a professional football player, and for dudes that are sitting at 6 foot tall and 300 pounds. I mean, being disciplined in your diet and taking care, watching your weight and things like that. That's a year round thing. You don't just let it go in the off season and then try to catch up when training camp starts. So I don't know what's going on with the guy, but there's clearly some inconsistencies there in his life and in his career that have caused him some issues. You hope he can get it right and get back on the field soon.
On the field for the Texans.
5 o'clock fire.
I forgot, hell, it's Friday. On the field for the Texans, actual news, Marcus Cannon, their offensive tackle who they acquired from the New England Patriots, underwent a knee scope, had to get his knee cleaned up,
yep.
Said it went smooth, but they also feel he should be ready by training camp. I think you brought up a really good point when it comes to this, and that not so much as the focus on Marcus Cannon, although it is important that he gets healthy because you think he might have a chance to start, but really more of the focus on there are a lot of Marcus Cannons like on this team that the Texans have signed that I believe they feel are going to help them, that are guys who have had injury history, didn't play a lot last year, if not at all, like Marcus Cannon, who opted out, and that are a little older, that this could be an issue where you see guys have little injuries like that that you've got to fill the void for.
Well, I think managing these injuries that a lot of these players are coming off of, you got Lane Taylor, Justin Britt, Marcus Cannon, there's just offensive line at that point. I think there's one more on the offensive line that's coming off of an injury as well. You got Randall Cobb, you got Phillip Lindsay. I mean, you've got a lot of guys, particularly on the offensive side of the football, that you're dependent on that are coming off of injuries. So managing these injuries in the offseason is going to be key. And it's just I think there's a chance that this organization, this roster that the Houston Texans have, it can go from experienced, weathered professionals, veteran laden, and that being an advantage to building culture and chemistry and winning ways and competition and things of that nature. It can go from that to, hey man, you got the oldest roster in the league full of guys that are injury prone and can't stay healthy, can't get the job done anymore, right? If you don't, with a little bit of bad luck, you can swing over into that area, and then you got major, major problems because you got a bunch of guys that are coming off of injury that very well could be injury-prone guys if they're not taking care of business.
Yeah. So we'll see how that shakes out, but that's something to keep an eye on because, as you said, hell, the whole offensive line, you could argue outside of Tunsil and Howard, fit into that camp.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. As the first half of the baseball season is getting closer to the end, the All-Star game is coming, which means the Home Run Derby is coming, and the L.A. Angels, Shohei Ohtani, their pitcher and hitter, who is having a hell of a first half, has been the first player to commit to the Home Run Derby. Are you one to see some Astros in it? Would Yordan Alvarez get you going, and would you want him as an Astros fan to be in the Home Run Derby?
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Some people hate it, but feel like, oh, it messes up their swing when they just start swinging for the fences and changes how they swing and it messes them up for the second half.
Well, that's what they do here in Houston anyway, ain't it? No, I'd love to see Alvarez in the I think he's a prime candidate in the Home Run Derby. Young, healthy, obviously can hit it out of the park with the flick of the wrist. Would be a true contender, and he's young enough in his career right now where I think it would be a lot of fun and it would be less of a risk than when he gets a little bit older. Even though when you get older, hell, look, you're swinging a bat. I don't know how much.
I want Altuve to be in.
Altuve, huh?
That's who I want him. He's got 16 home runs, which has got him in the top 10 in the American League. That's who I like the contrast. First off, he would immediately be the fan favorite to win. Never mind. I forget about what the Astros have. I think just normally he would be the underdog guy where you're like,
oh, yeah.
This little dude.
Where is it at this year?
It's in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
That thin air where the ball just flies. If I had to pick an Astro to be in it,
I don't disagree.
I know Yordan has major power and will hit crazy, but I think I wonder how great Altuve's power is if he's trying to hit a home run, like trying to do that. I mean, we've seen him hit blast. There was on a train.
Turn the game on
that.
Tonight. You'll see it. You'll see it at least 75% of the at bats.
He keeps. Yes, I know. He may have some swings and misses in there.
There's no question.
But that's if I had to pick one, that would be who I would want to see in the All-Star game.
I can't disagree with that. Yeah. That would be live. That'd be must-see TV just to see if he can compete with the big guys.
Yeah, just to see him up against those guys. All right, one of your Houston Astros was completely disrespected by one of the Chicago White Sox. And luckily for us, he has responded to him. We'll let you hear what he had to say next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
I feel like I understand where Lance McCullers Jr. is feeling today. I can feel that with coworkers, or ex-coworkers.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You have to explain this to me, man. What are you talking about?
I can understand what he's going through.
What's he going through?
People that he thought were friends. Lance McCullers was absolutely disrespected by Dallas Keuchel yesterday. Dallas Keuchel spoke to the media, and you know he faces Lance McCullers on Father's Day on Sunday, And Dallas was having fun about his relationship with Lance McCullers and took it here.
I love Lance. He's like my son. I mean, Lance is a great dude. I'm glad he's here for a lot more years because he's really, really, really talented.
So basically he said he's Lance's daddy. He's like a son to me. He's 6 years older than him. He's not a father figure to Lance. Maybe big brother, not a father figure to Lance. He's somebody's daddy.
It's Father's Day. It's kind of the theme right now, and you know, I mean, it happens. I mean, I can
He's
relate.
Not Dusty Baker or Brent Strom. Those
relate.
Are father
when a
figures.
Young fella comes along those and you got to kind of bring him along and teach him the ways and show him the streets, and you know, you do your damnedest. Sometimes they buck and sometimes you got I mean, I can relate.
No, stop. Don't point to me.
What I mean, it's I, like, I,
no,
I can
that,
relate.
No, he's cool if he'd have said, don't call me daddy. Now, Lance McCullers has since reacted and responded. And I understand. I can hear it in his voice, the anger, I believe, personally. Here's Lance McCullers' response to old Dallas Keuchel.
He's like a big brother figure for me. So some of the guys give me a hard time. Say, oh, Maldy, you know, it's a good day for you to face your daddy, you know, on Father's Day. So it's been fun. It's been fun. Maldy's had a good time with that quote. And he's a great friend.
It's not been fun. Now what Dallas Keuchel is starting is it's a good day. You get to pitch on Father's Day against your daddy.
Well, if Maldonado's picked it up, then it clearly was something that was going on right back in the day. Or is that something that he just picked up off of the quote?
Maldy was just waiting on this. He seems like a guy that can say it and has a real infectious laugh to really bring it out even more.
Lance sounds defeated there.
No, I feel him. With this show mama crap, I feel him. I understand it. With this stuff where you're trying to act like my daddy, I feel it. Even though it's a funny thing is I am the only one actually on this show that is a daddy. But anyhow, in real life.
A parent.
A daddy in real life. Okay. Stop it here.
I think Nala and Sugar and Holly would say differently, but okay.
Listen, I love all the pet owners and the dog owners. All right. That's what you are. You're a dog owner. I'm the only one's a daddy around here. Those kids I got, Trey, Nicholas, and Lauren, I am their daddy. Okay, damn it. All right, I'm probably going to get myself in trouble.
Easy show, mama.
But no, I can hear it in Lance's voice. Like, come on, man. Now I'm dealing with this on the clubhouse. Maldonado's picking it up. Who else do you think is in there messing with him about? Hey, you gonna get pitched for daddy?
I mean, Correa's got.
I bet Lowe's, yeah, Lowe's sucks.
Yeah, he can't help it. Yeah, I think Verlander just, even if he's not there, found his way to be able to get there to say it right there. It's just so disrespectful. You can hear him all out there. Yo, you get pitched, get your daddy. They're gonna be yelling it out there. Oh God, I feel bad for Lance. I know your pain. I really do.
It's a term of endearment to be a mother.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. I'm done with you today, Tyler, the rest of the way. I mean it. I'm not kidding. So get ready for that Sunday. That'll be a really good matchup of a guy in Lance McCullers and maybe a big brother figure he's going up against with Dallas Keuchel.
Look, when you talk about this Astros series, I mean, this is a hell of a series. I mean, it's what's left is a hell of a series. Last night was a hell of a start. They blow up 10 runs and win 10-2 and get a hell of an outing from Jose Urquidy. But what's remaining is it's not just Keuchel and McCullers, man. There's some good storylines behind all three games this weekend.
Nope. You got Rodon, who's pitching tonight, and he's got an ERA under two. And he is – I mean, he is absolutely been dealing. I mean, and we talk about the strikeout ability of Framber. He's right there with him. This is a guy who's, I mean, he's got 97 strikeouts on the season, and he's been on a roll lately in terms of getting people out.
You're talking about a guy that had 13 strikeouts on his last outing. You're talking about the Astros, one of the most difficult teams to strike out. That alone is enough. But, I mean, Rodon is the one that was talking smack about the Astros,
he was
the cheating. This is the pitcher for the White Sox tonight. So as you're watching the Astros game, just know that this is the guy that's on the mound when you're rooting your Astros on.
The way I look at it is, it's hard to see this when you're giving out 10 game suspensions for cheating, but you give the Astros no suspensions at all. So I mean, if Rob Manfred can look himself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm doing the right thing, that's fine. You can't suspend the team that you actually knew was cheating during a playoff game. That's on you.
Couple different ways to look at that. Again, that's the pitcher for the White Sox tonight. Couple different ways to look at that. He's clearly a little bit pissed off about the sticky substance being outlawed in Major League Baseball right now. So who knows what you're going to get tonight, first and foremost, versus the Astros. But secondly, he's the most recent player to just bring up out of left field because he and other pitchers in this league are being questioned. He brings up the Astros not getting fined or not getting disciplined when they stole a few signs. So just know that's what you're watching tonight. The storyline, a hell of a pitcher, strikeout artist, one of the best teams in baseball at not striking out the Astros. That in itself is enough. But you got an old smack talker on the mound tonight, so
he sounds like bad texters. Oh, if Rob Manfred could look himself in the mirror.
Oh yeah, well, the hell are you talking? That's about the only part that I agreed with him on.
If he could look at himself in the mirror, like get out of here.
That right there is why he will forever just be Carlos and will never achieve the height of Los. Carlos.
I know that rubbed you. I know you hate him.
Well, first of all, buddy, none of this even happens.
He just buddied you.
No one even.
Wow.
The whole premise of getting the cooperation from the Astros was that they weren't going to be, it wasn't going to be held against him. That's exactly how they got their cooperation. What are you talking about?
Can you look yourself in the mirror? Oh, I hate people who just say stuff.
Can we move on to game three in this series?
Look at yourself
before y'all go off in the weeds on this.
He's just as lame as it all gets.
Game three, you got Lance Lynn.
This is the
White
one
Sox,
you're ready.
Framber Valdez. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the ERAs of these two guys? This is the matchup right here. This is the pitcher's duel right here of the entire series. Framber Valdez versus Lance Lynn.
I would have said that until Sunday, until Dallas Keuchel picked this up.
It could be a true pitcher's duel for sure, though. Lance Lynn, 1.51 ERA. Framber is at a 1.42.
Come on. That's what you got. That's what you got in game three. It's the best pitching matchup of the series, in my opinion. And then game four, you got Father's Day. You got Keuchel versus McCullers and this little spat going back and forth, which you know it's tongue-in-cheek, so it really don't mean a whole lot. But it is Father's Day. You got the old Astro Dallas Keuchel on the mound versus McCullers, who needs to stack another quality start for sure.
The fun thing about this, from what we're watching from last night, kicked off by Jose Urquidy, and just every day within the rotation, it's like a battle between these cats. Every starter, sometimes talk about healthy, you know, competition in between within teammates. This feels like a competition of, I'm not going to the bullpen.
Yeah.
I'll be damned if I'm the one going to the bullpen. Because it feels like everybody, if I have a tough start, oh, man, Urquidy went 7. Here comes Garcia tonight. I gotta pick it up. Odorizzi just pitched well when he piggybacked off of Lance McCullers. Like, it feels like that's what you're seeing so much for these pitchers is, I'm not going to the bullpen.
Well,
hell with that.
You got to believe the standard's set, right? I mean, with what Urquidy goes out there and does, Framber Valdez goes out there and does, Luis Garcia goes out there. I mean, the young guys, the young pitchers in this rotation, I don't think there's any doubt that they're not feeling each other's momentum. You got to believe at the very least they're feeling each other and competing with each other and pushing each other. And I think it's beautiful to watch.
All right. So big games this weekend. Two of the best teams in the American League, two of the best teams in baseball. Let's see if the Astros can come out and win this 4-game series. They've already won game one. All right, Tony Busby, the attorney for the 22 women who filed lawsuits against Deshaun Watson, has finally spoken. He has stopped remaining silent, and we'll let you know the big important piece that he spoke about. That's next.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610 and Tony Busby, the attorney for the 22 women who filed lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. We've not heard from him in a while. We've not heard from him, Rusty Harden. This thing has kind of gone silent, but he released a post on Instagram yesterday, Clint, where he spoke about a lot of things that we kind of knew before. But to me, the big part that stuck out was this from him, from Tony Busby. As I've said, there will not be a settlement, at least anytime soon. I have my best people on the case. That should tell you a lot about our intentions. Lawsuits are about the work in the trenches. My 17 lawyers under my supervision are doing the legal grunt work that it takes to prepare for a case for trial and another win. That from Tony Busby, and giving the latest here, just really an update. Nothing new that we really didn't know. We've heard that they're far apart on a settlement, but at least for him, he does seem to say that the door is still open, that he is still open to a settlement, but just saying at this moment right now, a settlement isn't close.
Yeah, look, no new news. You said it. I mean, there's not a settlement on the at least in the works right now. Not that it's impossible, but not in the works right now. I do think it's funny that he says that they said from the jump they weren't going to try this case through the media. And they're preparing for a jury. I mean, look, it's one of those things where there's been a lot play out in the media, and I'm surprised that it stopped right at this point in time. Yeah. This just takes me to a place pretty quickly where I just, and it's not that this hasn't been the case all along. It's just it's the point where we're at, right? Is the next date on the calendar that Tony Busby can be targeting in a sense of moving the needle for Deshaun Watson is the report date for training camp, which I think we're a little under 6 weeks at this point in time. And not that Tony Busby can really do anything other than wait till that day hits, but when that day hits, I think we're going to find out a lot about Deshaun Watson. Right now, we know Deshaun Watson is having to pay the attorney fees associated with his defense versus 22 lawsuits.
And they got to be some serious attorney fees when you think about Rusty Hart.
If Tony Busby said he's got 17 attorneys working on these cases, I don't know that Rusty Harden has to necessarily have 17 attorneys, but you can bet that it's probably double digits. And if that's the case, whatever you think his fee is, you can multiply it times 10. Maybe not his personal fee, but a normal attorney fee, multiply it times 10, and that's what Deshaun's probably getting hit with on an hourly basis here. And if it's not an hourly basis because it's an ongoing thing, if it's one chunk, big lump sum, I would imagine it's through the roof. And so my point is he's paying that right now, and you know it's a big number. I don't know what it is, but you know it's a big number. When training camp starts, it's going to be decision day for Deshaun Watson, right? If the NFL hasn't placed him on the commissioner's exempt list at that point in time, and he decides to hold out, which he's threatened to do for the last 6 months. If he decides to hold out, he's going to start getting hit with fines on a daily basis. And I don't know down to the dollar how much Deshaun Watson has made in the NFL, but if you look at Spotrac, which is a pretty reliable website for contracts like this, Deshaun Watson has played football for 4 years and he's made $14 million. Now, I know he's collected more than that, but when you talk about what he's made for what he's done, it's $14 million on the football field. He signed a new deal, signed an extension. There was some guaranteed money involved with that. There was a signing bonus involved with that. So he's probably got some of that money, but you got to think, given the circumstances, spending that money is probably not a good idea because there is a slight chance, small chance, but it's still a chance that you could be in a position to have to pay some of that money back at some point, possibly.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at it, and I'm basing it off of what Tony Busby said, 17 attorneys working on this thing? I mean, that means the number of attorneys for Harden is through the roof. How in the hell is Deshaun Watson going to pay for this trial and all the attorneys that he's going to have for his defense?
22 different trials.
Lawsuits, yeah. I mean, and eat fines on a daily from the Houston Texans. I don't know how much Deshaun's got in the bank to foot that bill for too damn long.
Well, this was a point of why I think many people were thinking they were surprised that he hasn't settled, and the thought that there will be a settlement reached. But it does seem up to this point that Deshaun is pretty serious about wanting to clear his name. That was the reason why. That was one of the first things he said in his initial statement in mid-March is, I want to clear my name. I work to do that. And there are some really important dates, I think, for both sides, Clint, and that is we know training camp is coming, and then what does Roger Goodell and the NFL decide to do? Because if you look at Tony Busby, he ain't a fool. He knows these dates. He knows what potential points that could maybe push Deshaun Watson to potentially want this to get over with. And the thought of, if we can sit here and understand the discussion of, boy, Deshaun's been having to pay big money since mid-March to Rusty Harden every day, probably at some point for his services and everything they've been doing and working on this with all these different cases. for them on top of that to continue to pay that, to then have 22 different trials potentially that he's got to pay for legal services for and fines if he's making the decision not to come into camp. Tony Busby understands that, and there is an important thing of, is he going to be expected to be at camp, or will he get put on the commissioner's exempt list? And that list, if he gets put on that, would be a big help to him, because he wouldn't be, as you were saying, having to foot the bill for both the fines and the legal fees. And that's something that you would think Tony Busby's not ignorant of. And you could could see that being a part of his strategy.
I think the most likely thing here is Deshaun Watson ends up on the commissioner's exempt list, which is the best case for him. And I think it's the best case for all parties involved. I mean, I know some people on the text line, I know there's some people that just believe that it's bad for the Texans if they have to pay that $10 million salary and while Deshaun never plays again for them. But I don't think that's such a bad thing, right? I think the Texans being able to move beyond this and not be drugged through the coals any more than they already have because of Deshaun Watson's actions. I think the NFL, the more they can fly this thing under the radar and not be drugged over the coals because of Deshaun Watson's actions, whatever they were, whether he's guilty of what he's been accused of or not, we know that there's some suspect actions there from Deshaun. I just think best case scenario for everybody involved here is Deshaun goes on the commissioner's exempt list, which I think Roger Goodell would be doing everybody a solid if sooner rather than later he came to that decision, so that, again, because the closer we get to training camp, the bigger that the momentum behind the story of what is Deshaun Watson going to do, the bigger that's going to be, the more that momentum's going to build. And the NFL, look, nobody involved wants that.
No,
Than maybe Busby.
Yes. I mean, as we're discussing here, Tony Busby, the attorney for the 22 women who filed lawsuits against Deshaun Watson, has broken his silence and said there's no settlement anytime soon. If we were listening, you can use the Odyssey Rewind feature. We had John McClain on around 4:30, and he was talking about this, what you're talking about. Over Roger Goodell's dead body, is he going to allow what potentially that circus would be of Deshaun Watson coming in and trying to get into the facility here at NRG? There is no chance in hell that Roger Goodell is going to allow that circus to occur.
I'm surprised of? I'm not literally just now thinking about this. I'm blown away that Deshaun hasn't been paparazzi.
Oh, cameras and people taking pictures and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen workouts, in the public on fields out in the public. I'm surprised that nobody's at least had footage and tried to, and this is slow time in sports, right? I mean, this is ultimately, you're not going to get much out of it, but it's a slow time in football right now, which football is king. I'm just surprised that nobody's had footage of him going to his car, trying to get, some kind of question, some kind of comment from him. We hadn't seen that. As you were talking, I'm thinking, damn, when was the last time we saw Deshaun in person?
It, like, outside of stuff he's put out. Like, he's done a couple of videos on Instagram.
No, I'm talking
outside of that. That's the only time we've seen
him. I'm talking about when was the last time we've seen a video clip of him that wasn't by his people or him.
No, you're right. I remember he was there. Remember the last time Rusty spoke?
Rusty said he thought he was going to be there?
He thought he was thinking about having him on there, and he was there. They just decided not to have him speak publicly.
Right, right.
So he had to get there. I mean, that's interesting that nobody has tried to.
I mean, how's he gotten in and out of Houston a few times without Berman finding him?
Knew you were going to go there. You don't. It's not.
They're a harder working man in the business.
It's not for trying.
No, he ain't gonna fail you from a lack of effort.
He's probably done some stakeouts.
There's no question. He caught Morey coming out of the building. He called Dusty at the airport coming off that Southwest flight.
Unbelievable they had him flying coach.
That's right.
Those knees he's got. I mean, he's 72, for God's sakes. He's flying coach. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. All right, a big one this weekend, and as we've talked about it, earlier, man, there's nothing that we say anymore. I've cried uncle. I've thrown up the white flag at Dusty.
Talk about this lineup?
This lineup, man, whatever, man. It just seems like no matter how he puts them together or whatever the pieces are.
What's the lineup tonight? It's going to be out.
Oh, it is out.
What's it look like?
It's the same as yesterday. The only change is Maldonado is in instead of Castro. So McCormick is still batting sixth, and you know Abraham Toro stayed in there, wasn't going anywhere.
He didn't bump Abe up though.
No, I didn't bump him up. He's still the protection for Carlos Correa.
There you go.
But
Jazzy Fee is batting that two hole.
But Clint, you still don't believe in the protection for Abraham Toro tonight, and that is Miles Straw. He sent a blistering firing text message when you know Clint starts going in all caps and he gets you with that.
I don't look
get out of here.
Look, I don't want to make too big a stink about the 8-hole hitter for the Astros right now. I mean, especially when the top seven are damn near 300 hitters. I mean, I don't want to dog pile on Straw Dog, but there's a lot of times, whether it's on that text line or it's on Twitter, where I saw you take a little bit of it last night too. Now, get hammered because of the comments about Straw,
and yeah.
And I know the stats have been good the last 46 or 47 games. I get it, but I also watch the games.
It's the eye test for you, huh?
There's no way I'm the only one that watches the game and lacks confidence in his at bats. Like, he looks like he lacks confidence in his at-bats. Am I wrong?
I mean,
if I'm wrong, somebody put me in my place.
I don't feel
– so somebody no tell me that you
huh? – I don't have a problem putting you in your place. I think that's a little deep. I don't know that he doesn't feel – that he doesn't look confident. I think he's confident. I don't have the feel that you feel, like that there is – that this is no shot in hell. I mean, he swung the bat better. Over the last 40-plus games, and the numbers back it up, he's almost hitting 275 or so in the last 40-plus games. So he swung the bat better. So, but I don't get it from that point where he's up there praying he gets a hit. Like that. Like he's up there just with his fingers crossed.
I'm not quite on bending knees. Okay. I mean, I'm not quite there, but – but I do that. That's a good picture of where my mind's at. I'm like, I feel like, and I'm not talking about every swing because there's some obviously there's good swings wrapped up in there, but there's 50%+ of the swings where I feel like it is.
There's no way he's gonna get a hit. That's what,
and he knows it.
Oh, so it,
like
he's
lost. Lost
it.
Is the right word. Lost is not, because I don't want to make obviously the numbers. The guy's doing damage and the guy's getting on base.
Because so that's the part about it. It's not just that you don't believe it. You know it. You think to you the visual looks like you watch him and he feels like he's.
There's a defeated look. There's a lost look. There's a I'm guessing consistently look. There's a lack of confidence look. Every damn time I see him hit.
Tyler, do you see that? Is that what?
And
you
I'm
said?
Not even holding the fielding stuff and the base running stuff
You're
against.
Just talking
I don't
about
care
at
about
the plate.
That. I'm just talking about at the plate.
Well, I care about that, but you feel that you get a defeated look,
kind of.
Do
yeah,
you?
A
maybe
little bit.
Maybe I can't see.
But I mean, hell, throw anyone in that lineup, and you know you are the worst one in there.
Mute
like
him.
It's not like
mute him. No,
I can't mute him.
We can't play this whole. You don't think I take that into consideration?
No, I think you do. But, I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I see it sometimes.
You're going to make me feel bad about it.
No. You don't got to feel bad.
From the text line, you're not wrong. I've seen enough with my own eyes that Straw lacks confidence stepping up to the plate. Doesn't look like he has a plan whenever he goes up there.
I mean, it's overwhelmed.
I may agree. He may
it's
not.
It's out of his league. It's
see,
that look.
I
can't. When the numbers are what they are, it's really irrelevant. It's a moot point. But I'm just telling you, man.
Like for you, if they're in the game tonight, and it's 5-4 in the bottom of the ninth with two outs and Miles Straw
game's
just
over.
Coming up, you're not going to waste your time watching the rest of that.
No, I'm going to watch it because there's a chance that he's going to bloop one somewhere or he's going to slow roller and can leg it out.
But where is your confidence level? 10 being Carlos.
Here's where I'm at. You got a man on third, less than two outs, bottom of nine, you're down one. He's at the plate. Do you trust that he can obviously advance the runner? Any way, shape, or form, can you advance the runner?
I mean, trust.
It don't have to be the bottom of the ninth. Let's say it's the fifth inning, and you got a runner on third, one out, runner on third, he's at the plate, and let's say he's got a two ball, no strike hit.
My trust level is about a six that he will make contact and get him in.
What, did you watch it yesterday?
I did watch. I think he'll make. I'm not saying he's going to get a hit, but make contact to get him in. Yeah, it's about a six.
I'm at a 4.8.
Well, y'all are generous.
He's just got to make contact. Yeah.
Y'all are generous. Did y'all watch the game yesterday?
Because
one of the at-bats I saw, I believe there was a runner on second and third no outs and just awful at bats.
But to be fair, I watched the night before, too, and I've watched a lot of these games.
Chaz hit two bombs the night before.
Well, I mean, a blind squirrel finds
a damn acorn.
But it's not just a blind squirrel. I mean, he's had multi-hits.
See, now y'all got me in a position to where I'm defending my point, and that's not what I wanted to do.
The numbers don't lie.
They don't.
Numbers don't lie.
He's made contact.
I'm just telling you, I don't. The perception is really tough for me to get beyond. That's it.
All right, I hear. Let's get Todd in here. Todd, jump in here. What's your Miles Straw take?
So I get tired of watching Miles Straw stand at the plate, watching pitches go by, and then shrugging his shoulders or like moving his head like his neck hurts or something on a pitch that StatCast absolutely shows was a strike, hit the strike zone, and just not swinging. He would rather stand there and question whether the ump made a good call or not than swing at a ball that is close, at least close, and in StatCast's case, was in the strike zone in almost every case.
All right, appreciate the call.
That's what I'm talking about. I feel like
I'm defending Miles Straw, and how the hell did we get here?
But you don't see that? Like, you don't see the watch the ball that is down the gut and then roll the neck like, what the hell's
wrong with
yourself?
I don't think it's happening as often as.
Bull. Hell, yes, it is.
We just got 1 minute
here.
I don't think it's happening to the amount of level that you and Todd are pushing it. Like, someone texting in, he looks like a deer in headlights.
Agreed.
I don't have strong confidence in him. But I don't think he looks like a deer in headlights. But I do have above average confidence that he can make contact with a runner at third. I do have above average confidence.
I gotta go to counseling or something. I'm being too harsh.
I mean, you can help how you feel. It's not about a feeling.
It's about what I'm seeing. It can't be real about
what you're seeing, because what you're seeing is a guy who's hitting almost 280 in the last 40-plus games.
You also got to understand, is naturally going to be more understanding as the mother of the show.
Actually,
it's an awful point.
And I'll say this, and I don't need it from you two. Happy Father's Day to me, being that I'm the only one with children. We're sorry as hell, Tyler.
We didn't even wish you a happy Father's Day, as I'm the only one.
Tyler, make sure you're up Sunday to call your daddy. Clint, to tell him happy Father's Day.
No, I'm going to the Astros game with my actual daddy.
Well, call your other daddy,
Shoot
Clint.
Shoot me a text, bub. Don't wake me up.
You get a gift and a card. Make sure it's Hallmark. So make sure you give him.
Can't wait to see what my dog's got me.
I'm not even doing it. I'm not going to do it. Texans All Access behind us. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. They will have you set up. Have a great weekend, Houston. Great job, Clint. Awful job today, Tyler. I am Ron, the show. And as always, Houston, we love you, baby.
I am taking over a little fatherly role up with you. I mean, I get it. I don't know how you look at it. That's kind of how I view it.
God, I hate you.
I mean, I don't know.
Show mama.
Shut up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.